Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Wow, everyone, I have got to say, I have had a grace-filled, unbelievable 10 days that I got to travel, which I never am gone that long. And I also stopped to see my family, which I haven't seen in a really long time. So when I flew out to EWTN, I was flying through Denver and I thought, you know what, I should see my family that I haven't seen for so long. So it was really good to see my sister and just my mom and just all the people that love and support me and my family. So it's good to just do that every once in a while. And you get so consumed with your life. Sometimes it's you don't take that time that you need to just to stop. And now that we're able to travel again, we're able to see our loved ones. It's important to do that. So I'm glad I did. And typically, I do not leave my children. I am with them all the time. I'm home. It's very rare that I travel. It seems like I travel a lot, but I really don't. And I'm able to do the radio show and a lot of the work just right in the privacy of my own home, my little studio, and that's that. But even when I went to speak at World Youth Day in Poland, I literally, everybody, was gone for 48 hours. It was insane. So I was on ground, spoke at World Youth Day, maybe had an hour to be a part of the festivities, and I was out. So it was crazy and I was exhausted, but I truly don't leave that often. And I really discern when I do go. And so I was able to go speak at the Goddess Orange County Conference to the chapter there. And that was amazing. Everybody up there is just absolutely phenomenal and wonderful. And then I went to EWTN and I was on the Jim and Joy show, which already aired this last week. You can go on YouTube, EWTN's YouTube page, and see the reruns of those shows. I was on Doug Keck's show. I was on Jeanette Williams' show. And I had an awesome, fun little photo shoot. And it was just unbelievable, all for the new book that is coming out that I wrote and I compiled, Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. So you definitely want to get that now. Then also, if you want to pre-order it, because it seems, I guess there's like a paper shortage and just stuff going on, but I know my book is getting printed right now. There's just stuff going on, I guess, but no problem. But order it and I'll give you some information at the end of the show of some really neat things that EWTN is doing with that. But I had an amazing time. And also, everybody, you guys have got to go to the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. I don't think people actually realize what Mother Angelica truly built up there in Hanceville and the extent of what Mother Angelica has actually built along with EWTN. And I had a weekend silent retreat there. Well, not so silent. I mean, I was talking to just a couple of people here and there and some religious, but I mean, even the place I was staying at really didn't even have the internet. So it was just me and Jesus, Holy Spirit, and just taking time to stop. And it was absolutely wonderful. And I'm going to be really straight. It was life changing. It was absolutely life changing. And just being there at that shrine with the Most Blessed Sacrament and just the way Mother Angelica honored Jesus in this shrine that she built is breathtaking. It is breathtaking. There's nothing like it. I've been to churches all over the world in different countries, and there's nothing like it. So if you can make a trip up there, a pilgrimage with you and your family, or maybe some of you listening, you're just a drive away and you've never been up there before, I am telling you to go. Take the invitation. Maybe Jesus is giving you, I don't know, through this, to go and spend time with him, and it will be life-changing. I know you can't go there and not be changed in some way, shape, or form going there. So I would highly recommend that. And it was just unbelievable, beautiful, breathtaking, and a little piece of heaven that I really don't think the world even realizes what we have in the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. So anyway, that's enough of that, but to definitely go if you can. And I spent just hours and hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament. It was just wonderful. So go and know in my time up there, I was praying for you. Yes, you. I took your intentions and everyone that listens to the radio show or reads the books or however you're involved or take part in my ministry. I even with Chastity Project, I was praying for you. So know that you have a little prayer warrior and someone who's got your back. So with that being said, today I'm going to interview Dr. Kimberly Chipione, who actually is my own therapist. She is my counselor that I see. She's amazing. She's actually one of the contributors in my new book, and we are going to be discussing her amazing chapter today. So without further ado, everyone, let's get right into it with Dr. Kimberly Chipione. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, I have the wonderful Dr. Kimberly Chipione. Dr. Kimberly, thank you for being here with me again. And you are here because I wanted to discuss the chapter that you wrote in the new Women Made New book, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. So can you tell the women about yourself, the name of your chapter, and why you thought it was important to be a part of this project?
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me. The name of the chapter is Space for Grace, and it talks about how I went to one of the darkest moments of my entire life and how I got strength through God and the healing, and also really God leading me to the place of what I'm supposed to be doing for my calling, which was working with women and families in a therapeutic setting. So
basically, ladies, what Dr. Kimberly did in a nutshell is say yes to God and what he was asking her to do, especially in that darkest time in her life. And she just said that yes over and over to Jesus of things in her life. And now she is helping not just one, two, or a couple women. She's helping generations heal and start over and keeping marriages intact and taking women from those dark places and helping them become whole again and become the woman that God has always called them to be, created them to be. And that's powerful. What is that like?
It's amazing, and it's so exciting to see people go from a place of darkness and sadness and hopelessness to all of a sudden to a place of like having hope and looking at life as an opportunity and having a greater purpose versus, you know, isolating and hiding.
And isn't that what we do, ladies? I've experienced that in my own life. You want to isolate. You want to shut the world out. You don't want anyone to see you. You get depressed. You start doing coping mechanisms. You don't want to get dressed. You're sloppy. Just your environment becomes just heavier and heavier. Even motherhood, marriage, everything weighs down. It affects everything. But at the end of the day, you have to show up to your own fight. It is imperative. You have to engage, and you cannot lay down and die in that depression and in those wounds and just drag them around for the rest of your life. Nobody wants to live like that. And I know whoever can relate to what I'm saying doesn't want to be there. And I didn't want to be there. And there was a moment where I had to get that courage. I had to step up. I had to show up. I had to fight. I had to pray up. And I had to do the work. So let's talk about your story, Dr. Kimberly, and tell us a little bit about what you went through and how you came out of it.
Well, I had just moved from Colorado to Las Vegas. I was going to the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and I was so excited to start this new adventure in my life. And I had a horrific, traumatic experience occur to me, with me. And rather than call family, rather than reach out to friends, I literally wallowed in my dorm room for days and days and days, there was this amazing priest on our campus, and I had gone to Mass several times with him. I wish I could still hang out with him. And all of a sudden, in my days of crying in my dorm room, I probably looked like a homeless person. My hair was probably crazy. I was disheveled, but it was Las Vegas, so it probably wasn't that bad. And I found myself walking into the center where they had the different ministries. It was a building, but it was housed. Like the Lutherans had it at some point, the Baptists had some point, and then the Catholics had it Sunday night. So I walked in there, and I didn't even know if he was in there. I don't even know what brought me to walking into that building. Obviously, wow. There was something beyond me.
God's grace, right?
And he was sitting there, and he looked at me, and he had seen me a few times. So he recognized my face, because I think there was like maybe 8 of us that showed up for Mass nights on the campus. There was a huge LDS office right next door that was always full. And he looked at me and he just said, "Come in." And he held me appropriately. I want to put it out there. Appropriately held me, and I sobbed. And I told him what was going on, and he called a good friend of his who was a nun, and she came and she said to me, and they both said to me, "You are a victim of society." And they held me and healed me, and they both said, "You have a greater purpose, and you need to take what happened to you and not let this define you. And you need to take this experience and help others."
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really transformative and empowering. And ironically, my parents were not going to pay for college, they said, until I got confirmed. So about 4 months before I left for college, I had been confirmed my senior year of high school. And I was bitter. I was bitter because I wanted to party with my friends.
Oh!
And my parents were making me go to confirmation classes. And I had this amazing confirmation sponsor, love her, Donnie Sally. She's a godsend for sure. And if I hadn't gone through that process, I wouldn't have healed. I think I would have turned towards maybe drugs, alcohol. I had been drinking for sure. I was a freshman in college.
Coping mechanisms,
yep.
Right? You just...
And yeah. I chose really yucky ones. And I think things would have been really... My life would have not been where it's at. And I have a wonderful husband with 5 beautiful children. And I don't think if I hadn't leaned into God at that moment in time and listened to what was calling me to go to the Newman... It was a Newman called the Newman Center.
Newman Center.
Mm-hmm. That I wouldn't be where I am today. For sure.
Wow. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for sharing that with everybody.
Yes.
And then also there's something to be said, ladies, that Jesus never stops pursuing you. He is always, always there, mm-hmm. pursuing you. Mm-hmm. He's after you. He sees you. He sees you. And I want you to hear that, because so many times, especially in abusive relationships, you don't feel seen. You don't feel loved. You don't feel cared for. You feel thrown aside like trash. And I know some of you absolutely relate to what I am saying, and you're experiencing that on a day-to-day basis, and you don't need to stay in that place. Now, how you get out or whatever is happening, only you know, but God has the answers, He has the solutions, and He is calling you in the depths of your being to come to Him, to embrace Him, and embrace whatever it is He's asking you to do to break free out of that. Because every single one of us right now listening knows one thing that you should be doing that you're putting God off. And it's not okay. It's not acceptable. And it's something that maybe you're scared of, or you don't want to, or maybe it makes you mad because you want to hold on to that relationship or that job or that place you live, and you think you love it, but deep down you know it's not what's best for you. But God always knows what's best for us, right? Even in those dark moments, He was leading, He was guiding, He was
right.
talking to you, He was loving you, mm-hmm. Dr. Kimberly.
Absolutely.
In the depths of the pit, mm-hmm. right? And He got you out. And people don't think, oh, well, God doesn't want me. God doesn't love me. God doesn't need me. I'm nothing. What do you have to say to those people?
Well, I think that that's the darker side calling you. And they want, you know, we in the clinical world, we call
spiritual it battle.
Yeah.
It is. There's a clinical term. What is that?
We call it negative cognitive beliefs, that you tend to believe the negative. And I think that, you know, I had a patient say to me one time, and it kind of irritated me, but then I reflected on it. I have this habit of doing that. And I was like, that's interesting. He said, you either walk with Christ or you don't. And if you don't, you're walking with the devil. And I thought, that's a pretty strong comment. Isn't there some neutral ground?
Yeah, right. And we want to live in the neutral. But let's be honest, there really isn't. Either you're doing the will of God or you're not.
Right.
Black or white.
Right. And I think black and white thinking when it comes to life can be too rigid. But when it comes to where your heart and soul is, you have to think that way.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Said. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, I think if we're too rigid with our spouses and we're too rigid with our children, that is not healthy.
Yeah.
That is, but you have to provide structure as well as a lot of fun. Because if you have too much fun, you have chaos. And if you have too much structure, you have rigidity. But we have to live in this place of, you know, bouncing up against the banks of the two of them. That's some great work done by Dan Spiegel. However, when it comes to how you're going to live in the world, you have to be pure in your heart and soul.
Your intentions are everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Intentions
absolutely.
Are everything. So what is your intention in ignoring that voice of God?
Mm-hmm.
Because what is it you're putting before him? And that may seem extreme, but I'm speaking truth, ladies. I'm sorry. I'm just going to speak straight truth because we are in a battle and it's all hands on deck and it's time. Like, it is time. Today is the day. And for those of you that know you need to go to confession and that is a hindrance in keeping you from your relationship with God, today is Saturday. Everywhere in the country, everybody listening, there are confessions, typically in the afternoon. So there's not a more important time than right now to be right with God.
Mm-hmm.
So to go to confession, take your family. Maybe it's been a while since you've taken your kids or you've asked your husband. Just go to confession. Start over. Wake up in peace with Jesus tomorrow and just be right with God. Again, for those of you just tuning in, we are talking with Dr. Kimberly Chipione about her chapter in the new book coming out. You can pre-order it right now on EWTNReligiousCatalog.com. And it is called Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. And you, Dr. Kimberly, what is the title of your book?
Space for Grace.
Yes. Yes. And ladies, I know counseling can be scary, Dr. Kimberly.
Oh, absolutely.
Come on. How many people, including myself, have come in your office and been a little freaked out, terrified, overwhelmed, or even ashamed they have to sit here?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that if you're not, then there's something going on.
Oh, wait. Okay, wait. Hold on. That's a natural progression of it then.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
So when I have people come in my office and they say, oh, I'm so happy to be here. Have you been to counseling before? And they go, no. And I think, I think they've watched a lot of TV sitcoms. Because when you're working with somebody that is going to challenge you and tell you that, and that's, I had somebody say to me the other day, what's the difference between you and a good friend? And I said, well, the truth is a good friend's not going to always tell you the truth. And I'm going to tell you what you don't want to hear, but I'm going to say it because I care enough to say it, but it's scary. And, you know, I think that anytime you go into a therapeutic setting, you're becoming vulnerable. It's similar to going to confession, really. I mean, it's just that the priest has the connection with Christ, right?
Mm-hmm. The power to forgive.
Right. And so that power to forgive, but people hold on to the shame and the guilt, even though they've been told you're a child of God and he's going to forgive you. But sometimes our cognitive self needs to understand that and needs to process that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I've been going to Dr. Kimberly. She has been my counselor for years. Oh, my goodness. Colby, my son. How old was he?
Oh, he was in, I think, second grade.
Yeah. I've been seeing Dr. Kimberly for a while. And I still see her to this day once a month, sometimes maybe twice a week. And depending what's going on and the stress levels and whatever, it's good. It's healthy. It's okay. And I don't just talk to Dr. Kimberly. I always go to adoration and I talk to Jesus, you know. And then whenever I need to talk to a priest or confession, it's those three things that have been a consistent, just intertwined in my healing process and my life for years and years now. And that's what I've done. Confession, a good confessor, spiritual director. I have an amazing Catholic kick butt counselor. Oh my gosh. God really blessed me. And then I have Jesus in the Eucharist, my Eucharistic Jesus. Those three things are potent. They are sometimes necessary, and it's nothing to be ashamed of to go and to get healed and become the strong, whole woman of God that he's calling you to be. And if anyone shames you for that, they've got problems, and they probably are the ones that actually need to be in counseling, not you.
Well, and what the families that I've seen that occur with, Crystalina, it's such a valid point that when I've seen that occur, it's because the other person is trying to control and they're afraid of what's going to happen in like a relationship, right? And so, you know, I think you and I have joked about this before, that there's times that really you just need that secret keeper. You know, I joke with you that my job title should really be, instead of psychologist, it should be secret keeper.
Yeah.
Because we have this habit. I mean, think about social media. People put out there everything they eat, how much their children have disappointed them or their spouses. That's not okay. Yeah. That's not okay. And so I think going and healing and seeking out God's support and strength, but sometimes you need another human to discuss that with. And you can say, in a clinical setting, everything you want to say, and it's safe in there. And sometimes just putting it out there and hearing yourself alone can make you go, ooh, I don't want to live that way. But we put it on Facebook and Instagram and wherever else. And that's not healthy. And that ruins friendships and relationships. And that's not what we're meant to do. We're meant to be in relationship with people, connected to people, full of love.
That's really a cry for help, right? I would say, and desperation, and just like wanting so desperately to be heard.
Absolutely.
If people have to do that. I find it to be sad, but it's a means to connect to people, and all of the likes and everybody that people have, somehow that actually that little heart or that little just like or check or whatever is so validating. And if you really think about it, that's kind of sad. That's where they're getting that validation. Like, you should have a real authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, who loves you, wants to redeem you and be there for you, and who's real, tangible, not a check or a heart or whatever else. And I understand, and those things can be fun and good and really help people, right?
Yes.
But at the same time, sometimes people revolve too much of their lives around that.
Well, yes, absolutely. But, you know, you're talking about being vulnerable. People oftentimes feel uncomfortable being vulnerable with their priest or being vulnerable in a therapeutic setting, but they're going to put it on Instagram.
Yeah, because they're behind. They're safe. There's a screen and then the world, you know? You're in your home.
Yeah.
It's very different. But to deal with someone one-on-one, it's so different. So different.
Right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the steps that you took that you would encourage women, or if they're thinking about counseling, that they should start taking? Or just tell us about the process.
Oh, big process. So I think, you know, you're asking me two questions. How did I come to it? And then also what I think is
Yeah, let's separate them. Great.
So for me personally, you know, I did like most 18, 19-year-olds do is, you know, I felt healed. I felt connected. I felt heard. And then I went about with my college life. And this is what happens. This is what happens to a lot of people is what happened to me. A few years passed by. And then all of a sudden, I started getting really sick, like hospitalized sick, very, very sick.
Like mentally or physically?
It manifests oftentimes if we don't deal with our mental health, it will manifest in a physical health.
Wow. Okay.
Because our bodies will yell at us, basically.
Remember, our bodies remember trauma.
100%.
I've experienced that.
Yeah. And there's something actually called the anniversary effect that people aren't aware of. So say something wonderful happen to you around the Christmas holidays. Around Christmas holidays, you may get a giddy feeling and you're excited.
Yeah.
Well, what if you grew up in a home, like I've had patients that had horrible, abusive, traumatic environments during the Christmas season, and so they are irritable and angry and on edge. Mm. That's called the anniversary effect. So your body remembers it because of the sights, the sounds, all of the sensory that goes into that date and time. Okay? Mm. So in October, a few years after what had happened to me, I ended up in the hospital, and I ended up with hives so bad that my eyes were full of hives, my ears, my throat was closing, and I was like close to death. And they had to, I was, ironically, this is probably anybody who was ever there at this time, I was working at Caesar's Palace in the Forum Shops. It's a really cool area if you guys know it. And I was taken away on a stretcher by ambulance because
goodness.
I couldn't breathe. Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. And then a year later, the same thing happens. I was on a stretcher that time. And then another year, it happens. And then all of a sudden, I had one really good ER doctor that says, you come to the hospital only in October. And I said, huh. And he's like, what do you think that's about? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, maybe it's allergies. Maybe it's something. So we did this whole investigative thing. Finally, there was a doctor that said, what happened to you in October? And I went back in my mind, and I finally pinned it. And I haven't had any problems since.
How did you deal with it when you pinned it? That had to be business. That had to be rough. I know.
Yes. So that's when I, even though I had worked with the nun, who was amazing, Sister Catherine, and I had worked with the priest, I didn't take the next steps to do the therapeutic piece. Right?
Yeah.
And so that's when I started in therapy. My parents were wonderful people, but old school, and they didn't believe in therapy. And so they believed you only go to the priest.
Yeah.
And there's value in that. Mm-hmm. Don't dismiss that.
That's right. But it's part of the three that I talked about.
Right. But even the priest will tell you, I think you need some help.
Yeah, good. Yeah. No, that's a good priest.
Yeah, right. Wow. And, you know, I sometimes have priests call me, say, hey, Kimberly, because they know some of this work that I do. It's a little different alternative. And they'll say, can you pick up this client for us? Can you pick up this special person for us? But anyways, my parents didn't really believe in that. So I went and sought counseling all on my own. I started at the clinic at my school and kind of moved forward. Yeah. So I think that in a perfect world, you're able to just find the perfect person for you. But I will tell you, it's a lot like dating. And you sometimes have to go out with a few people, go into a few offices before you find the right match.
Yes.
Yes.
And being faith-based, I think, is huge, because I've done it with, it's just, that's what's been everything for me, mm-hmm. because then you really can bring the priest in, you can bring Jesus in mm-hmm. adoration, your faith system.
Yes.
Everything, it all comes together. So if possible, to kind of stay within the realm of your faith, where you're at, and get that good Catholic counselor. And it may take a couple, it did for me, but at the end of the day, if Jesus wants you to do something, he's going to provide everything to do it. Just like I have this beautiful gem, magnificent counselor in front of me. And that wasn't by my doing. Jesus really helped me find her. And it all just worked itself out as God will, if he's asking you to do anything. So do not despair, ladies. Do not worry. And pray. Make sure you go and pray. Mm-hmm. And
you know, I think something you brought up was really good, Kristalina, about, you know, the faith. So there are clinicians and psychologists that will say that they went through, you know, like a Christian counseling. I will be honest with you. I think that there's wonderful people in all different realms. It's about conversation. It's about connection, mm-hmm. and being able to say to somebody, tell me about your beliefs. So do you believe that there's an afterlife? Do you believe that there is God? Do you believe these things? And that person says to you something like, well, you know, this isn't about me, it's about you. Even if they're faith-based, you know, you need to know that you can be safe with whatever you believe in that room.
Yes.
And I've had other people say, oh, well, I went to this Christian counselor and they just kept reading Bible verses. Well, for one person, that might be really beneficial. For another, it's not. I can do that if you want me to do that. But, you know, mine is more God spiritual based, and what I believe in my soul, my heart. I don't believe I'm here for me. I believe I was put here for a different reason.
Yeah. And really to help people.
And I think I've told you this, like weird stuff will happen in my office when I feel.
Yeah. Sometimes things have happened. Right.
Yeah.
And you've told me about that, but you're really touching on a person's core and things that, that have happened to them. And sometimes that's why it's good. You have a priest, you have Jesus, you have the counselor, and everyone's kind of working together, helping that one person. We are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back with Dr. Kimberly Scipione. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me and tuning in. Today we have the beautiful Dr. Kimberly Scipione, and we are discussing her chapter in the new book that you can pre-order now at EWTNreligiousCatalog.com, and it is called Women Made New. And we are discussing Dr. Kimberly's chapter, and your chapter is called what, Dr. Kimberly?
Space for Grace.
That is right, and don't we all need some space for grace right now?
Yes, yes, yes.
So for those that are just tuning in, could you just give us a quick recap of your chapter?
Yes, absolutely. It talks about my own personal journey on how I had the calling to help and practice in the be a part of the healing process for women through the strength of God and His calling and really paying attention to that.
Absolutely. And she does such a good job, ladies. And if you have experienced trauma in your past, you really do feel understood and that there is hope, because there is hope. There's hope for everybody, right? So can you give us those just, I don't know, little nuggets of wisdom? If you have experienced trauma, you know, there's things you have to deal with, but you are scared, which a lot of women are, to face it, to own it, to heal it, which they need to do to then go to the next step in their life, right?
Yes.
What are those just couple nuggets that you can give them to help?
Well, I think you're touching on a few things. First of all, everybody has had some type of trauma, whether it's vicarious trauma. And then an example of that is maybe you're driving your kids to school and there's a horrible car accident and you feel something. That's vicarious trauma. No, you weren't in a car accident, but you may have seen something that's bothersome and it triggers something from your past. We all have some type of trauma. We all have healing that needs to be done from that trauma, and it makes us stronger, not weaker, to lean into it. So many people are afraid to be weak. They're afraid to be vulnerable. But when you remember that you are here on this earth to move through things, to support others so that you can be your best self, it's okay to be weak and be vulnerable because you have the strength of God behind you.
She just encapsulated it all right there. That was everything. It is so true, and not to let it go. Because what happens to an individual when they do let it go? They do let it fester. They push it down. They put lipstick on it and act like it's okay.
Yeah, and you crack me up. Reminds me of that expression, you can't put lipstick on a pig, right? But leaning into vulnerability makes you your best self. And I think especially for women, and please hear me, I'm not being sexist, but especially for women, our daughters need to see us be strong and understand that being vulnerable does not make you weak. It makes you strong. Understanding yourself and having love and empathy and compassion for your children is so important. And oftentimes, if we have too much of a trauma behind us, we get triggered by our kids and they're not seeing our best selves and they're not getting our compassion because we don't even have it for ourselves.
And what I've experienced myself is that if you can't even love yourself properly, right, there's a brokenness there. How can you love others properly? And there's going to be a distortion, and you don't want it, you don't mean it, but it does come out in your relationships. Have you seen that?
Oh, absolutely, every day. All the time. And I think that we think that somebody's going to come into our lives and they are going to, you know, love us the way we want to be loved. But if we don't love ourselves, we really can't even embrace that and lean into it and feel it. It's almost like a sponge, like we're a dry sponge and we think that somebody's going to come and they're just going to make us all better and we'll be able to absorb it. And that's not what happens. It's momentarily. That's like the honeymoon phase, right? Mm-hmm. And then what we realize is we all have things to work through and we can depend on our partners to love us and connect with us. However, if we continue to not love ourselves, we can't expect them to do it. And then we get triggered and we get mad because they're not doing enough for us.
Or loving us the way that we think we should be loved, or showing up the way we want Correct. Them to show up,
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And I think it's important those that do need to go through some sort of healing process to really, when you're ready, let your spouse know what you're going through. Let them know, because so often sometimes we keep things to ourselves and we're agitated and we're angry and we're going through things and we don't want to let our husbands in. And sometimes that's not safe, and I understand that in certain circumstances, but there are really good men of God that some of you women have that God has given you, and to bring your husband in when you're ready to help you through this process. And that could be part of their healing process in itself, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think when it comes to the therapeutic process, when it comes to the healing, that not allowing your partner and spouse to be a part of that process is actually creating a new barrier, right? And they, you know, ironically, you just before you and I sat down today, I just had a gentleman leave. And the reason he was here is I've been working with his wife, and she really wanted him to understand the work she's doing and how hard it is. And God bless this man, because he came in, he spent an hour of his day to just love and understand where his wife's at so that he can support her in the process versus being frustrated when she's, you know, unraveling, because we're opening up the box of all the yuck, and you know, he gets the brunt of it. But by having compassion for her now, I think that it'll help her heal quicker.
So I was scared to open the box of yuck. I know what you're talking about. You know all too well what I'm talking about. And it's a scary thing to unlock that. It's a scary thing to go and face the yuck, as you call it. And it's so appropriate. But ladies, you don't want to hold onto it. You have to get the poison out. Mm-hmm. And then you still will have the emotions. You still will have some memories. You still will have it. But it's a process, and you heal and you become stronger. And God really does that restoration in your life, mm-hmm. where he restores what was lost, and he gives you back what was taken, almost to a certain extent, but on a different level. And you're so much more at peace with yourself. There's no shame, and you develop and grow into the gifts that you were meant to have that maybe were covered up or you couldn't even get to because of all this garbage in the way. And it's just time to take out the trash, I would say, right?
Yes, and it will make you sick. I mean, I shared earlier about me being ill, but I can't tell you how many people I work with that have a history of gastrointestinal problems or cancer that had significant trauma. And there's a lot of research going into that. So even from a medical perspective, like, really look at yourself, heal yourself. There's a theory that, you know, if you don't take care of your body, it will take care of you. And
yes.
So you have to do this work. You want to be around for your children. You want to be around to do what you're supposed to do on this earth.
So what are the steps? What's like three things they can do?
Well, I think, first of all, when people tell me that they can't find anybody, I'm gonna call them out. I don't think that's true. There's people out there. It might take, like we said earlier, it might take a few people to go through to find the right fit. Any therapist, psychologist, mental health professional you meet that's not willing to share some information, don't go to them. Ask them questions. You know, you don't get to ask them how much they weigh. That's not okay. However, you can ask them, like, do you have children? You want to find somebody, and we've talked about this, how you want to find somebody who can understand your life circumstance. So I'm a mother of five. I've been married for over 2 decades. Somebody who's single might not find that as interesting, but you're also a mother and you've been married and it's hard. I get where you're coming from. There's an empathy already walking in the door. And then being able to be vulnerable and stick with it. You got to stick with it, because I find that a lot of times people after 3 sessions will just be like, it's not working. It's too hard. It takes 3 sessions to build therapeutic rapport and 6 sessions where you start doing the work.
I would agree. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be this taboo thing. I mean, you know, Crystalline, I think your kids know who I am. It's not, it's not a secret. It's not like, I go to therapy. My kids know my therapist. I mean, I have 5, and I think the only one that's not in therapy right now is Joe.
Yeah.
The rest, you know, but because we believe in it and you need a safe place to share, like I said earlier, a secret keeper. It's okay to have that person to share your thoughts with and just bounce them off somebody. Am I crazy? This is how I responded. And sometimes she'll say, well, that was a little out of character. But I got to hear that from somebody.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And be
just
humble.
Be affirmed and be humble.
Yes.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
See, you can't be humble without obedience.
Correct.
And you can't have obedience without humility. And it takes both for you to engage your will to make that decision.
Yes.
That's everything. That
right.
is the sword, and you wield it, and mm-hmm. it is a weapon. And God wants to give that to everybody, but it's not easy. And to a certain extent, yes, you are handing over some control, but are you really in control?
Well, if you let go of the idea of control, you get to lean into connectedness.
Mm.
And wouldn't you rather be connected than control?
Yes. To move forward. It's like mm-hmm. a relationship is constantly growing and moving.
Yeah, it's always evolving. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but I think that's what parents often do in a big mistake with their kids is they try to control them versus connect with them, understand where they're at. And you can share with them, you know, what you think is right or wrong, but they're going to do what they're going to do. And at least if you have a relationship with them and you're connected to them, you're going to be a part of the process and not surprised on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm. It's important they spend that time
yeah.
with the kids.
And it's okay. It. Yeah. And it's okay to apologize to your kids when you mess up.
I think it's huge. It teaches them to how to apologize too.
Yeah.
Like it's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
great
it's not the end of the world.
Great modeling. And I think it's okay to do that with our spouses too, you know? And I think we get so caught up in, you know, having this pridefulness about how I am better than you. Well, that's not healthy. That's grandiosity, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't want grandiosity. So those are some few pointers and, you know, just being open and honest and finding the right people. I think we can all benefit. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in the field. I think it's one of those things that people benefit when they have a confidant in the world.
That's right. I would agree. I would mm-hmm. absolutely agree with that. And then also, I want to speak to all those single women out there listening.
Mm-hmm.
You have such a treasure right now that I don't even think you realize in your time. You
yes.
have time to focus on you and be selfish with it, to take advantage of it. And if you know you have something that needs to be healed, do your family and your future spouse a favor and deal with it now. Because I used to think it wasn't going to follow me into marriage, and that's exactly where it followed me. And you're not going to get away from it. And it will come out on your children, on your spouse, in your family. It's just there's no way around that. I'm sorry. And I wanted to believe the facade and the lie, but it is a lie. So if you have time now and you can focus on a healing process, do it. And maybe that's what God is waiting for, because you're not ready for marriage. Maybe you're not ready for a relationship and it would be distorted and not right ordered. But he wants to right order us so we can be powerful and he really can flow his grace and his mercy and his mission that he has for everyone. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care what state you're at in your life. God has a purpose, a plan, and a mission for you. And do not underestimate the power of your testimony and what God has for you to do in this world.
100%. And I think you're bringing up something so powerful, Kristalina, is that people like to ignore stuff that happened to them when they were younger. And I find that, say something happened to you around 15, all of a sudden your son or daughter is 15, and now you're flooded with the trauma. So you're right. If you have the time, put the energy in that so you're understanding it, you're leaning into it, so you're not bringing in the baggage that you, it's like a box in the basement you never unpackaged, and it's just sitting there collecting dust, and there's more and more dust collecting every year.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Dr. Kimberly, thank you. I just love you so much. You've been a blessing in my life, and I know you are going to bless all of these women with your chapter, and it's so life-giving, and it gives you courage, and just thank you for your yes, because it's going to help many, many women.
Thank you. And, you know, I think when you asked me to write something, I thought about writing something more research-based or scientific, but I was like, you know what? They need to hear that good clinicians go to therapy and they've had their own journey, and that people aren't being judged in this therapeutic setting, that it's a safe setting where we all are growing and learning.
Yeah, God really spoke to every single woman and gave them that gem. And every one of you spoke from the heart, really, in your own experiences, because we're all overcomers. Every single one of us in this book. And it's beautiful. This sisterhood, this alliance, this just is beautiful with Mother Angelica and St. Therese of Lisieux. I feel like we're gathering an army of women to just... just be on fire for God and just to accomplish the mission that he has for each and every one of us. And that includes you. Yes, you listening. So God bless you. Thank you, Dr. Kimberly.
Of course.
And I'm sure I will have you on again.
No problem. You have a wonderful day. And to everybody out there.
I want to thank my guest again, Dr. Kimberly Chapion, for being here and just her honesty, just the honesty. It's beautiful and it can change hearts and minds, especially yours when you're willing to be honest with yourself and others. So thank you, Dr. Kimberly. And I also wanted to remind you that next weekend on St. Therese of Lisieux's feast day, that is my saint, is actually the EWTN family celebration here in my backyard of Phoenix, Arizona. So save the date. It is one day only. It's EWTN's free family celebration, October 1st. And you can see your favorite television hosts, radio hosts, shop the EWTN items that they'll have in the shop there, and also attend and be a part of a televised show and attend mass. And I will be there. And I would honestly just love to meet you. So this is my invitation to come and meet me. And I would love to meet you. And I'm going to have little bags. I'll probably have maybe 50 at the most. And they're just going to be little spiritual warfare bags, with just little things that I've used in my life that have been incredibly helpful. And I think that I would love to gift you and just thank you for listening and taking part and maybe being a woman made new yourself. We are all made new in some way, shape, or form. And God always wants us to keep going further and deeper on that path. So come up to me and just say, Kristalina, women made new. And if you do that, I will have little bags there and I will give you one. And also one of these pictures, gorgeous pictures of St. Therese of Lisieux. It's one of my favorite. It's on my social media page. You can see it on my Instagram and it's very unique and gorgeous. And I will have a small one for you along with on the back of it. It will have a novena to St. Therese that I've been saying since 7 years old. Can you believe that? You know, I've always, that's kind of my go-to prayer to her. And my aunt taught me that. And it's just a quick little sweet prayer of pick me a rose. I'm sure some of you have heard of that, but if not, it'll be on the back of the picture that I will give you. So come and find me. And the whole theme of the family event is confidence works miracles. And is that the truth? So come and be a part of the family, because you are a listener. You are a part of this family. You are a part of the EWTN family. And just know that you are welcome. You are prayed for. You are loved. And we will welcome you all with open arms. So come and take part. Also, I wanted to let everybody know what EWTN is doing, which is so exciting for this Women Made New book. So Women Made New is now open for pre-orders, and a special gift to you that EWTN is doing has a new coupon code for 10% off when you pre-order the book through EWTNRC.com. And in fact, EWTN Religious Catalog is the only place you can pre-order right now. And you can search under Women Made New or item 82897. And when you're getting ready to check out, be sure to enter the code NEWBOOKS. That was new books, everyone, and you'll save 10%. So that's awesome. And this code is only available for pre-orders. So reserve your copy today and maybe get that gift for that special woman in your life. That would be fantastic. And it is really for, I would say, graduating students of high school all the way. If you're 99 years old, God has a purpose, a plan, and a mission for you. And there is all seasons of life and all stages of life in this book of all these different unbelievable women that came together. And really, they are overcomers, and you can be an overcomer too. And I'm sure you are in your own way, shape, or form in your life, because we've all had victories in our life and we've all overcome hardships in our lives. And I know God wants to bless you with a grace-filled, happy, unashamed life and to do great things for Him. So get the book, Women Made New. It is out now for pre-order sales. I'm so excited. It's done. Like, it's just unbelievable. So God really has blessed me in getting this all taken care of. And if you want to actually read the first chapter of this book, you can go to womenmadenew.org and download it so you can see what it is all about. And in closing here, I wanted to give you a prayer that actually is in the very beginning of the book that has really touched my heart and that I've prayed several times, and it's just really helped me. And it's from Mother Angelica in one of her early shows, like her whiteboard shows way back in the day. And when I heard her say this, it just really touched me. I got tears in my eyes for the first time, but I wanted to share it with you today. So she says, "Lord Jesus, you know the pain we have when we are disappointed. Disappointed in those we love when we found they did not love us in return. Disappointed in things and people and everything and everyone. We're disappointed sometimes in the world and those around us. Disappointed in ourselves. We place all of the disappointment, Lord, in your sacred heart and immaculate heart of Mary. We place them in a furnace of love that you possess. Sacred heart of Jesus and immaculate heart of Mary, my sweet mother, mend all who suffer disappointment and place them in your sacred hearts. Give them the courage to stand tall, to persevere and to trust in your wonderful providence, that providence that is always present and always there. Amen." Amen to that. I hope you all have a wonderful and fantastic weekend. Know that you will be in my prayers. And don't forget, everyone, it is Saturday and today is confession. So take advantage of God's grace and mercy and go to confession. There is nothing more important in your life right now than to be right with God. Have a great weekend, everyone. God bless.